Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top of the Chof Gimel. B'yom Tov Chamisha B'yom HaKippurim Shisha B'Shabbos Shiva Ein Pochasim Mehem Avo Mosifim Aleihem. So this we saw in the Mishnah, the number of aliyas to the Torah reading on Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. And according to our Mishnah, there were 5 aliyas for Yom Tov, 6 Yom Kippur, 7 for Shabbos. And the Gemara right now is interested in knowing who is the author of our Mishnah. And that's what we have entitled this sugya under our Nosei heading on the side, where we've written Birur, a clarification, Mi HaTana Shel Mishnah Seinu, who is the Tana of our Mishnah. So the Gemara opens up with a question, basically, as saying who is the Tana, and it doesn't appear to be known names from that which we have seen in a brisa elsewhere, and leaving us then with the question that we'll have to answer afterwards, who in fact is the Tana, the Gemara. Masnis and Moni, our mission is in accordance with whom? Lo Rabbi Yishmael, lo Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't seem to conform to their opinions on this matter. Desanya, B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom HaKippurim Shisha, U'B'Shabbos Shiva. So far, that sounds like our Mishnah 5, 6, and 7. Ein Pochasin Mehem, but take note, the Ein Mosifin Aleihem, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. See, Rabbi Shmuel says you do not add to the number of aliyas, but according to our Mishnah on Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, you have a right to add to the number of aliyas. So that is a strike one. Rabbi Shmuel is not the author. Rabbi Akiva Omer B'yom Tov Chamisha. Take note now. U'B'yom HaKippurim Shiva. U'B'Shabbos Shisha. Now, of course, you can see with our dashed underlining that this is the point of difference between our Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva. Here, our Mishnah said Yom Kippur 6, Shabbos 7, and he says Yom Kippur 7, Shabbos 6. Ein Pochasin Mehem Avol Mosif Analehen. So on that score, it's the same as the Mishnah, but not in terms of numbers. Money. So then the Gemara reviews now. Who is the author? E. Rabbi Shmuel, if our Mishnah were Rabbi Shmuel, Kashya Tosefes. There's a discrepancy between our Mishnah's approach to adding. Our Mishnah says you're allowed to add, and he, Rabbi Shmuel, says you're not allowed to add to the number of aliyas. E. Rabbi Akiva, Kashya Shisha Vashiva. And if our Mishnah were in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, you find here a discrepancy that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos has 6, Yom Kippur 7, and that's not like our Mishnah. Omar Rava. So Rava answers, Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael He. Our Mishnah is like the Tanaic source that was taught in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, this is someone who was expert in Tanaic literature from the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, has the following source. B'yom Tov Chamisho, B'yom HaKippurim Shisho, B'Shabbos Shiva. So far, that's the same as our Mishnah 5, 6, 7. Ein Pochasin Mehen Avol Mosifin Aleim Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, and here we dash and underline Mosifin. You have here you have Rabbi Yishmael, like our Mishnah with the 5, 6, 7, and also the halach of you're allowed to add. Now, as we go on, we highly encourage using the arrows that you see on the side. Kashya de Rabbi Shmuel de Rabbi Shmuel. We now have a new problem, and that is a seeming contradiction in Rabbi Shmuel's. Above, you see, we had dashed underlined under Rabbi Shmuel's name, Ein Mosifin. Here in the source we just read, we dashed underlined Mosifin, but also with the name Rabbi Shmuel. So there would be that would appear to be a contradiction within the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Can you add to the number or not? The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. What we have here is it's not a contradiction, but rather two opinions as to what Rabbi Shmuel himself had said. The Gemara asks a question that lasts a few lines. Man Tano Leha Desanya. Who would the author of the following Tanaic source be? We can notice that we've underlined here Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. This source will deal with the communal behavior on these different holidays. B'Yom Tov Me'achrin Lavo U'Memarin Lotzeis. On Yom Tov, people will tend to come late to shul, come late to the synagogue, and leave early. And Rashi says the reason people will come late to the synagogue is on the third line from the top. Rashi says B'Yom Tov Me'achrin Lavo LeBeisak Neshet Tzorich L'Truach B'Sudas Yom Tov Kach Mefurish Maseches Sofrim. The person is obligated to prepare the Sumchas Yontov, the Sudas Yontov. And as you can see from here, that we're talking obviously about men as well, because the need to come to shul is something that's primarily male related. And you see the men were also preoccupied in meal preparations. And it's not just a woman's job. It, of course, this might very well have entailed setting up the oven, the wood in the stove, starting the fire. Of course, it's Yom Tov, and that for food purposes is quite allowed. And any other number of tasks necessary for preparing a meal. So that resulted in people coming late to shul, and they would, and Memarin Lotzeis, people would hasten to leave, and Rashi says because of Simchas Yom Tov. And one should not get any wrongful impression. This is what was expected of people. And therefore, the result was on Yom Tov, people would come late and leave early. And the leave early doesn't, it means they would, apparently, they would hasten their stay in shul. B'yom HaKippurim Memarin Lavo U'Me'achrin Lotzeis. On Yom Kippur, people would come early. There was no food preparation consideration. After all, it's a fast day. And they would tarry in shul. Me'achrin Lotzeis, they would leave late. U'B'Shabbos Memarin Lavoi U'Me'achrin Lotzeis. On Shabbos, people would be able to come early. And Rashi adds here something that's interesting. He says, Shikvar tiknu hakol me'erev Shabbos. As far as Shabbos food is concerned, everything was prepared from Erev Shabbos. Cooking and baking, of course, is forbidden on Shabbos day. So everything had to have been prepared before Shabbos. V'yofe l'mahir bi'osan likroi shma kivosikin. And this is a nice point, an interesting point that Rashi is making, that it's on Shabbos day, it's proper to come. It's nice, it's advisable to come early so as to be able to recite the Kriya Shema in accordance with the practice of the Vasikin, which means that Kriya Shema would be recited before the actual sunrise. And then that would, the people would then say Shemon Esrei right after the sunrise. We call that being Smichas Gula L'Tfila in accordance with the Vosikin. And this, Rashi says, on Shabbos. And the reason we're pausing on that is because there are other opinions on that matter. But this seems to be Rashi's approach. Now, we read this source. Leimo Rebbe Akiva. Let us say that the teaching of this source that says that they were ma'achrim lotzeis on Yom Kippur, they would stay later in shul, this is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva. It says there were seven oilim l'Torah, there was more people than on any other day called to the Torah. So, and that would account for their being later in shul. The Gemara says, Afilu Temo Rabbi Shmuel. The source could be in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel. And how do you account for the Ma'achrim Lotzeis of Yom Kippur? De Nofish Sidura Vioma. Because on Yom Kippur, there is a lot of, a lot of prayer that takes place. So that the elongation of the tenure in shul could be a function of that, and not necessarily the fact that there's an extra Aliyah LaTorah. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking, and on the side, you can see the mivneh, the crown shape appears. Hani, these mis parim hashoinim shel oilim l'torah b'yomim shoinim, the different numbers of people on different days keneged me. Who do they? The number. What does it represent? And the double underline you'll see is highlighting that expression keneged me. So you'll see that the crown shape appears here, and here we're going to deal with the numbers 3, 5, and 7, and later we deal with Yom Kippur, which with its 6 aliyas l'Torah. The Gemara, Hani Shloisha Hamisha V'Shiva Keneged Mi. The numbers of aliyas that we've referred to, 3 on weekdays, 5 on Yom Tov, 7 on Shabbos, in who do they represent? Pligi ba, and we have brackets here, and within the brackets there are a lot of names. So in order to make the reading a little easier, so we recommend skipping the brackets for a moment, and you would read Pligi ba. There's an argument. Chad omar keneged Birkas Kehanim, v'chad omar keneged Shloshi Shomrei Asaf, etc. So that you see immediately the answer. So now before we go on in the Gemara, let's go through the brackets, having noted that there are a lot of name possibilities. So we say Pligi ba Reb Yitzchok bar Nachmeni v'chad de'imei. They argue Reb Yitzchok bar Nachmeni and someone who was with him, Umanu, and who is that? Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Another version, Reb Shimon Pazi was arguing v'chad de'imei and someone with him, Umanu, Reb Yitzchok bar Nachmeni. The Amri law, and another version is not Reb Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, but rather Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni. So we have two opinions. Chad Omar keneged Birkas Kehanim. The psukim of Birkas Kehanim are made of 3 words in the first pasuk, 5 in the second pasuk, and 7 in the third pasuk. 3, 5, and 7. And you can see on the side we've included the psukim themselves. Yevorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, yo'er Hashem ponov eilecha v'chunecha, yiso Hashem ponov eilecha v'yosem l'cho shaloim. V'chad omar, the another opinion, as far as the 3, 5, and 7, is shlosha shomrei hasaf, chamisha meroye penei hamelech, shiva roye penei hamelech. The reference here is to, we'll say, official officials that served in royal capacity. And Rashi, if we look at Rashi together, you could see Chamisha Meroye Pnei HaMelech Shiva Roye Pnei HaMelech Shiva Heim. There are 7 officials that were called the Roye Pnei HaMelech. They saw the king. Kedichtiv Shiva Sore More Shivas Sore Parasu Modai. In the Megillas Esther, there's a reference to 7 ministers from Persia and Mede. Umehem Yesh Hamisha Hashuvim. Of the 7, 5 were particularly important. Kidichtib Besoif Melochim, Shloisha Shomri Hasaf Besoif Sefer Melochim, and there were 3. We'll say Shomri Hasaf were types of guards that function in the palace. Ukenegdon Tiknu Elu Me'ein Devar Malchus. There's something, we'll say, royal about these. And Tosfos regarding the reference Rashi made to the officials mentioned in Megillas Esther, so Tosfos says that it's a little difficult to see why we would establish Aliyas L'Torah representing the officials of the evil Ahasuerus. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam has an alternative explanation, and one can look there. So we continue in the Gemara. Toni Rav Yosef, Shloisha Chamisha V'Shiva, Shloisha Shomrei Hasaf, Chamisha Meroye Pnei Hamelech, Shiva Roye Pnei Hamelech. So Rav Yosef has this Tanaic source that is very similar to the second opinion that we just saw of the Amoroyim. Omerle Abaye. Abaye asks Rav Yosef, Ad ho idno, my time lo porish lon mar. Until now, why haven't you explained this to us. Only now you are teaching this Tanaic source with which we can understand the numbers. Omar Lei, so Rav Yosef says to Abaye, Lo havi yodano de tsrichosu lei. I didn't know that you needed it to be explained. Umi bo isu minoi milso velo amri lechu. Did you ever ask of me something that I didn't tell you? Omar Lei, Yankiv Mino L'Rav Yehuda. This individual who is referred to by the name Yankiv Mino, Tosfos doesn't like the Girsa Mino, and he comes up with a different Girsa, different version, because if he was a min is an apostate, so the name Yankiv wouldn't be associated with him. Yankiv was a name of a tzaddik, and you wouldn't. Together with an apostate, we have a principle that the names of the wicked shall rot, and therefore you wouldn't have the name of a tzaddik associated with an apostate. So we continue in the Gemara. This individual asks Rav Yehuda, Hani Shisha di Yom HaKippurim Keneged Mi. The six aliyas of Yom Kippur, who do they represent? Omar Lei, Keneged Shisha Sha'omdu Miminoi Shel Ezra V'Shisha Mismoilo. Once again, we go to names, and here we're referring to names that of individuals that accompanied Ezra. Ezra was the leader of the Jewish people at his time. We're talking about the period of time at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, and it says, and here we have the names. There were six on his right and six on his left. Vayamod Ezra Hasofer al Migdal Eitz Asher Osu Ladovar Vayamu Vayamod Etzlo, and they stood by him. On this platform, Metasio, Vishema, Vianya, Viuria, Vichukia, Umasio, Al Yamino. They were to his right. Umismolo, Padaya, Umishoel, Malchia, Vichashum, Vichashavdino, Zecharia, and Mishulam. The Gemara asks, well, in this last list, those that stood to his left, Hani, Shiva, Havu. You can see with our numbering that we come up with seven names. So the Gemara answers, there really are six people. Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Meshulam. What we have in the position six and seven are really one person. He is one and the same. V'amai Koro Meshulam. Why is Zechariah called Meshulam? The Mishlam Be'ovdei. That means he's a complete righteous individual. He's complete in his ways. Tana Rabbanan. Hakul Eulim Leminyan Shiva. Vafilu Kotan, Vafilu Isha. Every one can count toward the number seven. We call seven people up to the Torah on Shabbos. Anyone can be called to the Torah on Shabbos, even a minor and even women. Aval omru chachomim isha lo tikra b'torah mitnei kvod tzibor. However, our sages have said that women should not be called up to the Torah. Women should not. Now, when we speak about, by the way, being called up to the Torah in the time of the Gemara, the one called up to the Torah would actually read the section of the Torah that he was called up to. So that not only are we talking about Aliyah LaTorah, also referring to the reading of the Torah for the public to hear. So it is true that a woman, technically speaking, can count toward the number of Olim. However, you see already back in the time of the Gemara, so this is a Tanaic source dating very far back in time, that women should not fulfill that role because of the honor of the Tzibor. Now, this concept of the honor of the Tzibor is something that that many people find difficult to understand, but there is a concept of in Judaism of the, we'll say, the primacy, the royalty aspect of women. Kol kevoido bas melech pnima, the honor of the woman is where she is, we'll say, non visible, if you will, or she's inside. Pnimo means inside, internal, inside. And if you think for a moment, think about something that is of very great value. Things that are of very great value, people will keep in a vault. They don't flaunt those types of items. so that when we have this concept of kol kavoida bas melech pnima, the true honor of the woman is where she is not in the forefront of, I'll say, of public visibility. So that having been said, the concept of kvod tzibur is simply an outgrowth of the honor that the Torah, that halacha, accords to the woman. If you are familiar with, let's say, a royal society, and there is a queen that stands at the head of that particular royalty, the queen is someone that is treated with a great deal of honor, and you wouldn't find her, let us say, conducting an auction. That would be an insult to the country that at the head of which she stands. So that the concept of kvod tzibur, it's an honor. The honor of the community is that the women folk are treated in this honored capacity. Ibaya laho maftir mahu shiale leminyan shiva. We know in a very old practice that after the Torah reading there would be a section that was read from the prophets. That's referred to as the maftir, the haftorah. This role, when he is called up to the Torah prior to the reading of the Navi, does his aliyah count toward the number 7? Or is it such that you have 7 other people that are called to the Torah, and then someone is called to the maftir position? Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiya bar Abba, you have 2 opinions. Chad amar oyla v'chad amar eino oyla. One says that he counts toward the 7, the other one says no, he's independent. Mad amar oyla, the one that says that he is the maftir, the one who is called to the Torah, who eventually reads the from the prophets, from the Novi, he does read from the Torah. He's called to the Torah, so he counts. Umad amar eino oyla kid'ula, the opinion that says he doesn't count toward the 7 is in accordance with Ulu Diyama Ulu Mitnei Maha Maftir B'Navi Tzorf Shikur B'Torah Tchila. Why is it that the one who reads from the Navi reads from the Torah first before he reads the Navi section? Mitnei Kvod Torah V'Kevon D'Mishum Kvod Torah Hu L'Minyona Lo Solik. The Rashi explains Mitnei Kvod Torah, the fact that he who reads from the Navi also reads from the Torah, shelo yehi kvod Torah kvod Navi shaveh. If you would have a person that was called to read just from the Navi and wouldn't read psukim from the Torah, he wouldn't be called up to the Torah. People would think that the Navi is on the same par as the Torah. You have people reading from the Torah, and you have someone reading from the prophets, putting them on the same level. Therefore, we say not so. And obviously, the Torah is a higher level of kedusha than the Navi. The Torah represents the dictation of the Almighty to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the word of God Himself, so to speak. So the reason the person that's called up to the Navi also reads from the Torah is for that consideration, that we shouldn't get the impression that the Navi is on the same level as the Torah. And so, as Rashi says, we came to the Mishum Kvod Torah Hu, v'lo Mishum Chova Lav Miminyona Hu, since his calling up to the Torah is not because of the obligation of having 7, but it's simply so people don't get the wrong idea about the Navi. He doesn't count toward the basic 7. So let's read that line again. We're reading 4 lines from the bottom. Ula's teaching, Mipnei ma'amafti b'novi tzorch shikur b'torah t'chila. Why does the person who reads from the Navi have to read from the Torah first? Mipnei, the reason there is not because he counts toward the numbers, but rather Mipnei kvo Torah. He's there so as to preserve the honor of the Torah, not have it equated with the Navi. The Keva de Mishum Kvo Torah Hu Leminyona Lo Solik, since his whole role of reading from the Torah is only to preserve the honor of the Torah, he does not count to the minyan, to the number 7 doesn't add to that or count as part of it. Mesvei. Here we ask a question on the opinion that says he doesn't count toward it. Hamaftir b'Novi, Lo yivchois me'esrim ve'echod psukim keneged shiva shekoru batorah. The one who is called up to the Navi is not to read less than 21 psukim, which corresponds to the 7 people who were called to the Torah. The minimum number of psukim for someone who is called to the Torah, the minimum number of psukim that someone reads is 3. And if 7 people are called to the Torah, so amongst them 21 psukim would be read. So it says in this source that the one who is called to the Navi, you have to make sure that there are 21 psukim in the prophet that he's reading from, so that it matches the minimum number of psukim that were read from the Torah amongst the 7 people. Now, the superficial impression here is that he must be one of the 7 people that are called to the Torah. V'im Esau, if it were so that he doesn't count toward them, he's a separate entity, Esim v'arbo havyan, then there would really be 24 psukim, because we said that the person who reads from the Navi also reads from the Torah. And if he's not one of the 7, so he's an 8th person, and he would also have to read 3 psukim, so then you would have not 7 times 3, but 8 times 3. And that would then indicate, or that would result in our reading 24 psukim from the Navi. So the Gemara answers, Kevon de mishum kvoid toirohu, since the whole reason that the maftir, that the Navi reader reads from the Torah, is because of Torah honor, and not because of his being one of the basic 7. Kenegdo nami lo boy, we don't have to account for psukim in the Navi to represent his aliyah as well. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Maskif lo Rava Vare Olo Sechem Safu. Rava asks regarding this issue of numbers. The this pasuk is the name of a haftorah that we read. It's from Sefer Yirmiyahu. It's a section that we read from Sefer Yirmiyahu, and the Gemara points out the lo havion esrim v'chad v'karinon. It doesn't have, you don't have 21 psukim there, and yet we do read it. So this brings into question that which we are saying, that the 21 psukim that are read corresponds to the number of olim. Here we have a haftorah that doesn't have 21 psukim in it. So the Gemara responds, "Shiny hosam, the case of Oloseichem Safu, that particular passage, the Solik in Yona. You complete the topic that the Novi is talking about within, with less than 21 psukim, therefore there's no need to read more." The Gemara asks, "Vehecha de lo solik in yona loy," and where you don't complete a topic, are you saying that you have to read 21 psukim? The Omar Rav, when was 21 psukim means from the Novi? Is that really so? The Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Abba, zimnin sagin many times, have a koimno kamed Rabbi Yochanan, I was standing in front of Rabbi Yochanan, v'fi have a karinon asora psuki, and once we read 10 psukim of the prophet, Omar lon afsiku, Rabbi Yochanan would say, stop, enough. The Gemara answers, that still is not a problem for us. Mokon sheesh turgamon shiny, where there is someone that, in addition to the psukim of the Navi that are being read, is also translating it into Aramaic, so then you would have too much tircha de tzibura, too much burden on the public that has to delay in listening to so much. Therefore, 10 psukim would be enough, because it's not just 10 psukim, it's 10 psukim, and each pasuk having the targum recited as well. Ditoni Rav Tachlifa Bar Shmuel. Rav Tachlifa presents the following Tanaic source, Lo Shanu, the teaching that we have to have 21 psukim, this was taught, Elo, it's limit, it's qualified, Elo b'mokam she'ein turgamon, that's only if there isn't someone that's reciting the Aramaic translation, Avol mokam she'ein turgamon posek, but in a place where there is the Aramaic translation being recited along with the reading of the original text. So posik means we stop. We don't read the full 21 psukim. We would read less. And we saw Rabbi Yochanan, you would read 10 psukim. My guess is that 10 psukim and each pasuk having its own targum, that's in effect 10 and 10, that's 20, it's the equivalent of 20 psukim, and we said before that you wouldn't need to read more than 21, so you're very close to that number. You don't want to read more, again, because of the, according to this Gemara, that is, because of the Tircha de Tzibura factor. The Mishnah. We should point out, on the side, we have a topic heading, Rishimo Shel Dvorim Shebekedusha. We have a list of practices that we call practices of holiness. Dvorim Shebekedusha. The translation is really of very little significance. It's just to realize that there are a list of practices, Shelo Nasim V'Pochos Me'asorah, that are not done when you have less than 10 people. So we see that we have a list in the Mishnah. Ein porsin al shma v'ein ovrim lifnei atevo v'ein osin eskapeim, etc. Let's pause for a moment. The first item in this list is something that is discussed amongst the commentaries on the Mishnayos, what it really means. Ein porsin al shma. So we'll look at Rashi, but Rashi himself is not 100% clear. There are Meforshim, like, for example, I saw the Ran is quoted in the Meforshim on the Mishnayos, who explains Rashi. So the Rashi says, Ein porsin al shma, minyan habola beis hakneses, minyan is a group of 10 people who were cool, lachar shekoru hatzibur hashma. The Ran explains on this Rashi that you had people that came to shul one by one, and eventually they added up to 10 people, but as they were coming to shul, they noticed there wasn't a minyan of people there, so each one had recited the Shema on their own. They recited the Shema and the Birchas Kriya Shema and the Shema on their own, and then they noticed that they finally had 10 people there. Omeid Echad, so one of them gets up, now that I have 10 people, V'Oimer Kaddish U'Borchu Ubrocha Rishoni Shebekriya Shema. He will say the Kaddish that we're familiar with, and Borchu. These are things that could not have been said with less than 10 people. So now it can be said, the Kaddish and Borchu, and the first bracha of the Birchas Kriya Shema that has in it in the morning Kriya Shema, it has a passage that has, in effect, kedusha in it. Now, these people have already davened, and the as we said before, they were coming in individually, so they had said they had already davened, and by saying the first bracha of Krishna, you also have an element of kedusha in it. Kadosh, 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 Hashem tzvokos, and baruch kvod Hashem imkomo, in that passage. So he would also say that first bracha of Kriya Shema. That's a porsin. It's an expression of porsin al shma. The word porsin itself, according to the Sama Forshim, refers to a pras. Pras is a part. So he would say just a part. He wouldn't go over all of the Birchas Kriya Shema, just say part of it, just this fractional recitation, so as to now be able to get in the Kaddish, the Borchu, and a representation of Kedusha. The number two in the Mishnah, Ein v'ein ovrin lifnei hateva. This is that you don't have a shliach tzibur who in effect recites the Shemona Esrei for the public to hear, which is a practice that was prominent in the time of the Gemara, certainly in an era when you didn't have printed sidurim, someone had to be motzi everyone else, so that we have this remains to this very day, a shliach tzibur. But having that function of someone reciting the Shemona Esrei for everyone to hear is only if you have 10 people. V'ein noisin es kapeim, birkas koyhanim, the priestly blessing is only with 10. V'ein korin b'torah, v'ein maftirin b'novi, the Torah reading and the reading from the prophets. V'ein oisin maimedu moshav. Maimedu moshav is a practice that's associated with the burial of the dead. So according to Rashi, and there are other opinions, but according to Rashi, when they would carry the dead, body to be buried, there would be en route to burial spot, there would be seven times that someone would say to the people, sit and then stand, sit and then stand. Imdu yikorim, amodu, shvu yikorim, shvu. Rashi quotes this, and during this time, people would eulogize, so that this practice of the seven sit and stand actions that they would do en route, that practice would be done only if there were 10 people. That's called Maimuru Moishov. The Ein Oimrim Birkas Aveilim, the Tanchumi Aveilim, Birkas Kasanim, these practices as well. Birkas Aveilim, this is a bracha, and it's featured in Maseches Ksubis as to what the text of that bracha is, but that bracha for mourners. Bracha recited, let's say, in the regarding mourners and Tanchumei Avelim. Rashi explains this upon the return from a burial, a row was established in which the mourners would be comforted. That's Tanchumei Avelim. It's a specific reference to the row of people upon the return from a burial. The Birchas Chasanim, we know that commonly as Sheva Brochas. These are brochas that are recited, that are associated with a marriage. V'ein mezamnin al hamozon b'shem pochos me'asora. When we say the zimun, the opening passage before the actual Birchas Hamozon is recited, so there is a text for minimum of three people, and there's also a text where we add the name of Hashem. That's what the word Bashem means here, where we add the name of Hashem into that pre-Birchas Hamozon text, Nevorech Elokeinu. That Loshon is only when you have 10 people, not less than 10. U Bekarkois Tisha V'Kayin. This is a reference to someone who sanctified to the Beis Hamikdash land, and the owner wants to redeem the land, or someone wants to redeem the land. It needs to be evaluated in order to know how much cash compensation to give to the Beis Hamikdash in order to get to redeem the land from the temple's possession. How many people are needed for that evaluation? 10 people are needed, and amongst the 10 people, there must be one Kohen. The Odom Kayotzbem. Likewise, if a person needs to be, his value needs to be redeemed, so to speak, we'll get back to this later, but the person evaluation as well must be with 10 individuals doing the evaluation. The Gemara asks, and this is the topic at hand. On the side of them where we have written the Nosei, Mokor La'asora B'Shvil Dover Shebekdusha, the source for needing 10 people for the matters that we described as Dover Shebekdusha. And again, the term Dover Shebekdusha is literally has to do matters of holiness. So you can imagine things like the recitation of the Kedusha in Shul on the part of the Shliach Tzibur, the reading of the Torah in public. These are things that we would classify as Dover Shebekdusha. I'm not sure that we would say that redemption, evaluation of land, and evaluation of land is necessary, Dover Shebekdusha, but it has its own, we'll see later, that has its separate source other than that which we're going to see right now. Here we're referring to those activities that we call Dover Shebekdusha. So from where do we know that those activities require 10? Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar Kro, V'nikdashti, the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. And I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. Kol Dover Shebekdusha lo yehe pochos me'asora. And from this pasuk we see, and it's not so obvious yet, but that which is of a holy content is to be done in no less than 10. My mashma, how do you see in this pasuk v'nikdashti b'sof b'nei Israel, then a reference to 10? So the Gemara answers, D'toni Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya teaches, Asya toich, it's really through a word comparison that we come to this conclusion. Ksiv Hacha, in the pasuk we just read, it in fact says, V'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Israel. Notice the dashed underlining under b'soch. We're emphasizing that word. Uksiv hasam, and it says in the context of the spies or the scouts that were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu, who came back with their negative report concerning Eretz Yisrael. It says in that context, he bodlu misoich ha'eda. Separate yourselves from the Eidah. Now, the key word is the mitoch. And in that posuk, how many people were featured? There were, in effect, 10 people featured in that posuk. We'll get to this in a minute. The asya, we need another word comparison, because hibodlu mitoch ha'eidah isn't enough for us. It says, the asya eidah eidah, dechsiv hasam, it says by the meraglim, ad mosai le'edah ro hazois, so that by the meraglim we know that there were 10 wicked scouts. There were 12 scouts sent altogether, but Yehoshua and Kalev were pious. So when you want to describe the Eidah in terms of the meraglim, and then refer to it as an Eidah Ra'a, an evil Eidah, so that is in terms of 10 people. So then you go back to the pasuk just before, Hibadlu Mitoch Eidah, so there the word Mitoch is found together with the word Eidah. So we established already that the word Eidah is a reference to 10. The word Mitoch then is also associated with 10. And then we go back to our pasuk of Nikdashti Besoch B'nei Israel. The Kedusha is with 10. So it's a comparison of Toch, Toch, and Eidah, Eidah, as we just demonstrated. V'ein oisin maimed u'moshav pochos me'asorah. We don't have maimed u'moshav with less than 10 people. And that, we said, was a practice en route to a burial. And here we don't have psukim, but rather it's an idea. Kevan deboi lemeimar indu yikorim amodu shvu yikorim shvu. Since a command is necessary, where someone is taking a position of authority, and I'm telling the people, stand, sit. Botzer me'asora lav orach ara. With less than 10 people, it's not proper. Derech eretz orach ara means derech eretz, proper decorum or etiquette to matriach someone to issue instructions to a group of less than 10 people. The Ein Omrim Birchas Avelim, Birchas Chasanim, my Birchas Avelim, what is Birchas Avelim? Here the Gemara doesn't tell you the text. It just says it's says Birchas Rechova. It's a bracha that's made in an open square, a reference to the bracha made in the context of a burial, of a funeral. And the text, as we said, is featured in Maseches Ksubos. Here the Rashi makes an allusion to the text. Achenu Baal Hagmul Yishalim Lochem Gmulchem Hatoiv Brocha To Hashem Yishalim Hagmul. So it's a brocha that's made in honor of the people coming to comfort the mourners, and there's a brocha that's made for to the mourners themselves. And Rashi gives you the text for that. Achenu Baal Nechomos Yinachem Eschem Lochem Menachem Aveilim. So in that context, we continue in the Gemara, the Amar of Yitzchok, Amar of Yochanan, Birchas Aveilim Be'asara, the bracha that's made in this context of the mourners is when you have 10, V'ein Aveilim Min HaMinyan. The 10 that are present are 10 that are exclusive of the Aveilim. They're not, we're making a bracha, there's a benediction here that is directed toward those that came to comfort the mourners. So the mourners are not included. We have to have 10 comforters present in order to make this, to recite this benediction that Rashi quotes. Birchas chasanim ba'asara v'chasanim min haminyan. However, when we speak about the what we call Sheva Brachas, the Brachas that are recited, the seven benedictions that are recited in honor of a newlywed couple. We say 10 must be present, but the 10 there includes the groom. Again, we're contrasting Birchas Chasanim, where the subject is included in the number 10, as opposed to the Birchas Aveilim, where the subject there, the Aveil, the bereft, are not included in the number 10. The Ein Mezamnin al Hamozon B'Shem Pochos Me'asora. The Birchas Hamozon introduction, using the name of Hashem, should not be done with less than 10. Kevin Deboi Lemeimar Nevorech Elokeinu. In the text we have is without the lamed before Hashem's name. Here it's Nevorech Le'elokeinu. There's actually a discussion about that in Maseches Brochas, but since the name of Hashem is recited, Botsur Me'asor Lav Orach Ara, with less than 10, it's not proper etiquette. It's not sufficient chashivus. It's not sufficiently a sufficiently important gathering to warrant the reference, the recitation of the Almighty's name. Ha'karkois tisha v'koyen, the odom kayotze bohen, minohani mili. From where do we know, how do we get to the number 10 when it comes to evaluation of item for the purpose of redemption from the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash? Omar Shmuel, asora koyhanim ksuvim b'parsha. The term Kohen appears 10 times in that section of the Torah that deals with redemption of items sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash. So we have in that section there's a reference to the sanctification of land and the sanctification of portables. So in that parsha, in that section of the Torah which deals with the redemption of items, and redemption requires evaluation of the item to know how much money to give in exchange in redemption of the item. So the name, the word Kohen appears 10 times. Chad legufay. One appearance of the word Kohen, one of the 10 times, is for itself, meaning that you have to have a Kohen as part of the valuation committee. The Edoch, the other references of Kahuna, of Kohen, have a miut achar miut. Now, the word Kohen in and of itself is a limitation expression. A Kohen would sound to be as if it's exclusionary of others. A Kohen, yes, and not others. But we have a rule that when you have two exclusionary expressions, one following the other, that would then do the opposite. And a double exclusion, in fact, is an inclusion. That's called a miut achar miut. So the first Kohen word of the 10, that you need for itself to tell me that a Kohen must be present. The successive appearances of the word Kohen are classified as a miut achar miut. And the rule is, v'ein miut achar miut, when you have a limitation following a limitation, elo l'rabois, it comes to include tisho yisraelim v'chad Kohen. You can have, as far as all the rest are concerned, they can be yisraelim, provided you have one Kohen. So you have one Kohen and 9 non-Kohanim can comprise the evaluation committee. The Gemara asks, V'emo chamisha Kohanim v'chamisha Yisraelim. If you follow this concept of miut achar miut, so the first word Kohen is going to be Kohen. The second and third is, we said miut achar miut, so that comes to include others. So that would include a Yisrael. Now the next word Kohen is again a limitation. It said that you could say that is a Kohen. And then you have again miut achar miut, that would come to include a Yisrael. So would it not be more accurate to say that if you just follow this scheme of things, you really come out to 5 Kohanim and 5 Yisraelim? If we look in the Rashi, he goes through this in a more accurate fashion. Ve'emo chamisha kohanim v'chamisha yisraelim. Kevan detaimo, Rashi says, mishum miut achar miut, since the reason of including non-kohanim is a function of miut achar miut. Kevan detaimo mishum miut achar miut hu. Hashlishi eino miut achar miut. The third kohen is not really a limitation following a limitation. Kevan de darshis le Sheni Mi'uracha Mi'ud, since the second Kohen reference was the Mi'uracha Mi'ud, that came to include Israbi Yisrael. So Yisrael, the second Kohen appearance included Yisrael. Ki hodar also Kohen Shlishi Ashminid Levi Kohen, velo Yisrael. The third Kohen then is telling me specifically a Kohen and not a Yisrael. V'chein, and then when you get to the fourth Kohen, that includes Yisrael. The fifth Kohen appearance does not. That would be limited to a Kohen. V'chein Shiva, v'chein Tesha, and down the line in that fashion, so you'll come out actually with a split committee, five Kohanim and five Yisraelim, not nine and one. So the Gemara says, Kashi, that is in fact a difficult point. In other words, why did the Mishnah say that you can have up till nine Yisraelim when really it should be limited to five Yisraelim and five Kohanim? So on that calculation level, we're left with a difficulty. The Odom Kayotze Bohen. Now, that on a translation level would lead us to think that just like a piece of land is sanctified, a person could be sanctified. And then we would talk about the need for redeeming him. So the Gemara asks, the Odom Mi Kadosh, does a person become sanctified? You can sanctify property. You can't sanctify a person to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Avo, B'Oimer Domi Olai. If someone said, I dedicate my market value to the Beis HaMikdash, then an evaluation will be necessary to determine his market value, to determine how much money he owes to the Beis HaMikdash. And for that, we need 10 evaluators. Desanya ha'imer domi alai. Someone who says my market value is upon me means I take it upon myself to donate that to the Beis HaMikdash. Shomen oisoi ke'eved. He then needs to be evaluated like an eved, like a slave. Now a slave is viewed in halachic terms as a piece of property, and that's by virtue of a pasuk. The eved iskish lekarkos, and a slave is compared to karka. So that when a person dedicates his value, we say we look at a person, which we call a free man. We would look at him as if he were a slave. How much would someone of this person's age and health capacity be sold in the market if he were a slave? And that amount is then given to the Beis HaMikdash. And we say that the eved is compared to karka. Eved iskish lekarkos dichtiv. The pasuk by slaves says, "Visnachaltem oisom livnechem acharechem lo reshes achuza," that you will bequeath unto your descendants in the context of inheritance slaves lo reshes achuza. The term achuza is a reference to land, so that they are bequeathed unto future generations as land is bequeathed from original owner to his descendants. The Mishnah now continues with halachas that are concerned or associated with Torah reading. Hakore b'Torah lo yivchois mishloish psukim. One who reads from the Torah, and we made reference to this earlier, an aliyah to the Torah, so he shall not read less than three psukim. V'lo yikra l'meturgamon yoser mipasuk echad. When you have a meturgamon, someone who is reciting the Aramaic translation, this is a practice that has fell into disuse for most communities today, but there are certain communities, you find some certain Yemenite Jewish communities that follow, that continue with a meturgamon, someone reciting the Aramaic translation, Aramaic explanation of the psukim, so that in the course of the Torah reading, the Mishnah is telling us one pasuk would be read from the Torah scroll and pause for the meturgamon. So you're not going to read for the meturgamon more than one pasuk at a time. Otherwise, it's overload and he might come to make a mistake. We continue at the top of Chof Dalet Omid Aleph, the top line, Ubenovi Shlosha. When we're reading the Haftorah from the prophets, so there you can read in one shot three psukim before pausing for the Meturgamon. But did we not just say that we want to keep it down by the Torah reading to one pasuk? So there the explanation is that in the case of the Torah where the psukim contain mitzvah content, a mistake would have possibly grievous results. So we don't want to, we want to ensure that no mistake is made, so we keep it down to the maximum of one pasuk per translation installment. However, when it comes to the prophets, which don't contain direct mitzvah information, it's the prophets contain more chastisement of the public and other information, but not direct mitzvah conduct information, you can take your chances and read three psukim, and we're not so fear-struck of a mistake being made. So it's not considered. It might be in the case of the Torah, three psukim before translation starts would be a bit of an overload for the translator, but we're not going to be so preoccupied in the case of the Novi. Hoyu shloshton sholosh parshios, if the three psukim being read from the Novi are actually three separate topics, you can have, and this is pointed out later in the Gemara, a succession of three psukim being three separate topics in the Novi, so then Kirin Echod Echod. Then we would read only one pasuk at a time before translation is done, even in the case of the Novi. Medalgin Benovi Vein Medalgin B'Torah, skipping from one section to another can be done in the context of reading from the prophets, but not so in the case of reading from the Torah. Rashi says, "Vein medalgim b'Torah shashomea sakofetz mimokom lemokom ein libo miyushav lishmo." When someone is skipping from one section to another, so he's not going to be so concentrating. So he's not going to be concentrating on what's being read. It'll confuse him. V'ad kama hu medaleg, and how much can be skipped? Ad kidei shelo yifsok ha miturgaman. The skipping, which involves the rolling of the scroll from one section to another, as long as the miturgamon is continuing in his translation, if the rolling of the scroll will be completed before the miturgamon finishes his translation, so the skipping can be done. We don't want a situation where the miturgamon has finished and you're still preoccupied with rolling the scroll. That's a dishonor to the tzibur. The Gemara will then focus on the points made in the Mishnah, but Amir Tzashem will pick up with that in our next Shir. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shir for today.